It's nice to see you here today. We're glad that you've joined us to begin your week here in worship to the Lord. I want to welcome anyone that might be visiting with us for the very first time, a new guest, and we're glad that you are here as well. It's a good time to be here. We're beginning a brand new series today entitled Give Me One. I'll explain that a little bit more here in just a few minutes. Before I get into the message, though, this morning, I would like to invite you to join me in a moment of prayer. I'd like to lead you in praying and to pray for you, and also to pray. I'm sure most of you have heard about the difficult week that we've had here at First Church. Last Sunday, Pastor Alex preached, and after the middle service, a young man responded to a call on his life to give his heart to the Lord, which he did. And Alex then baptized the young man immediately after that. The young man's name was Mark Paul. That happened on Sunday, and then on Tuesday, Mark attended for the first time the our Celebrate Recovery group that Don and Jenna talked about that meets here on Tuesday evenings. Don said that he worshiped and he shared, he gave testimony about his life. And then Wednesday morning, Mark took his own life. So it's been a very difficult week here. His funeral is today. Pray for his family. Also pray for Pastor Alex. Alex is going to be speaking at his funeral this afternoon at 5 o'clock down at Stevens Mortuary. And then the family will be coming back up here to First Church for a meal after that. So pray for this young man's family, for his extended family, certainly for us here. You know, there's a lot of questions when something like that happens, but you know, we're so excited about the decision that he made for the Lord, and then excited to hear that he'd come after hearing about Celebrate Recovery, and then for that to happen on Wednesday, just such a tragedy. So would you join me, and let's bow our heads and pray. Dear Heavenly Father, Lord, we thank you for this day that you've given us. And Lord, we come today certainly with hearts, Lord, that are keen to your love and grace and mercy. Also, Lord, with grief for this dear family, Father, and for the loss that we've all experienced this week. And Lord, we're so thankful for the decision that Mark made last week. And Lord, there's so many questions as to why, as far as what happened on Wednesday. But God, we just commit him into your loving, gracious, kind hands. And Lord, we pray for his dear family as they deal with their loss. Father, be with us all today as we gather to remember him, and help us to love, Lord, on his family in such a way that would encourage them and help them. Be with Alex, Lord, as he shares with that dear family. And Father, may your words offer comfort and guidance and care. And God, be with us right now as we approach your word. And may we do so, Lord, with a certain amount of expectancy. Lord, knowing that what we can receive from your word is encouragement, Lord, to live a life that's pleasing to you. So, Father, we give you this time together. In Jesus' holy name we pray. Amen. Amen. You know, give him one. Back in January, I challenged the new church board here at First Church as we got together to reorganize now for the coming year. I challenged them with a prayer, and I told them that I was going to challenge you guys, the whole congregation, later on, right before Easter, with that same prayer, and that's what I want to do this morning, and that's really what this whole series is about. You know, I don't know about you, but when it comes to this time of year and the whole time change thing. It's funny. I used to worry about remembering to reset my clock, and now I just worry that my smartphone won't remember it. You know, I used to not sleep well on the night of daylight savings time when it began, because I would wake up and think, oh, did I set the clocks? And now I just wake up and I worry, oh my goodness, did the clock reset itself? You know, and I still don't sleep any better, even though you don't have to worry about it doing it now. It does it on its own, but still that anxiety is there. Because I think there's just something psychological about losing this hour of sleep. Were you like me last night? It was 10:30 and I looked at the clock and I'm thinking, oh my, it's 11:30. And then it's like makes me wide awake. And then at midnight, I'm thinking, oh my goodness, it's 1 a.m. You know, the time's going to change in an hour. And, so I worry all night long or anxious all night long because of the time change. And then when you get up in the morning and you're thinking, oh, I lost an hour of sleep. There's something psychological about that. But it doesn't seem to have affected you guys too much this morning. So I appreciate you coming today with that smile on your face and with an anxious heart to hear from God's word. Let me show you the prayer that I challenged the board with, and I'm going to challenge you with today. Here it is. Lord Jesus, give me one person who I can influence with your love. Lord Jesus, give me one person who I can influence with your love. Isn't that a bold prayer? Can you imagine how your life would be different if you prayed that prayer and God answered that prayer this coming year? Give me one person that I can influence with your love. Let me show you the power of this kind of prayer. How many of you here this morning, by show of hands, I want you to raise your hand, how many of you were influenced in your decision for the Lord Jesus Christ, if you're a Christian, how many of you were influenced by the testimony of someone else that you knew or were close to? Raise your hand. Raise your hand if someone else influenced you in your walk of faith, in your acceptance of Jesus Christ. Raise your hand. Leave them up. I want to see everybody's hand who was influenced in that way. Just look around. There's an awful lot of hands up this morning. You know, that's the power of a testimony in Christ. The power of a personal testimony. That's what I want to talk to you about today. The power of a personal testimony. There were many of us here this morning that raised our hand and said, you know what? Someone, God used someone else and used their personal testimony to encourage me in my walk of faith, or in my accepting Jesus Christ as my Lord and Savior. I remember when I was in the 10th grade in Pennington High School, I was in study hall, and when all the smart kids were studying, I was goofing off. And this one girl, her name was Penny Harbor, I'll never forget her. She looked at me and she said this. She said, Johnny, and that's what she called. She said, Johnny, she said, do you know Jesus Christ as your personal Lord and Savior? Now, number one, it just kind of blew me away. You know, it made me stop just for a moment. And, you know, it's like, I can't believe that you're asking me that here in front of all these other people. But she was serious. She asked, have you accepted Jesus Christ as your personal Lord and Savior? Now, I will say this. It wasn't at that moment that I turned my life over to the Lord. But I'll tell you this. It was at that moment that God got me up my attention that led to me making that decision not too far down the road. You see, God always will honor a person using their own life. Because that's exactly what Penny did. She talked about how much Christ meant to her and how Christ had helped her and encouraged her. And as she told me that, she encouraged me to understand and to accept Jesus Christ as my personal Savior as well. The power of a personal testimony. Everybody here this morning knows someone that led them down that road. A lot of us here this morning can look to one key person that God used to tell us their story, give their testimony, that God used to encourage us to accept Him as well. Now let me show you a really cool passage of Scripture here. It's found in John chapter 4 in verse 39. At the beginning of this chapter of John 4, we see Jesus encountering this woman at the well. This Samaritan woman at the well. And when all the disciples were wondering what they were even doing there, Jesus draws this woman into a conversation about living water and about her life. And he encourages her in what she needs to know, what she needs to accept, what she needs to know about God and about Jesus as his son. And then we see this verse at the end of this, after Jesus has this encounter with her, look at what it says. It says, many of the Samaritans from that town believed in him because of the woman's testimony. We see this encounter that the woman at the well has with Jesus, and when the encounter is over and she goes back to her town, all of a sudden, there was this group that came back from her town, and it says that many of the Samaritans of that town, in other words, the people that knew her, the people that lived near her, many of the Samaritans in that town believed in him. Why? Because of her testimony. You see, folks, I believe with all my heart, with all my soul, that there's somebody in your life, someone in my life, that God wants us to have an influence in them and on them. That there's someone that God wants us to share what he's done for us. And the good thing about his life in our life. And let me show you how this was true in this woman's life. In other words, what helped this woman to have a great testimony? And you know how I know it was a great testimony? Because she came to the well with a life that was in shambles. Right? Is that a fair characterization? If you read this, and we're going to read a few more of these verses in just a few minutes, but if you read closely about this woman's life, her life was not where it needed to be. Her life was in many ways in shambles. But when she encountered Jesus, then when she went back home, it doesn't tell us what she did, what she said, but we do see that there was many people that came from her town out to where Jesus was. And it says that many of those people believed. Why? Because of her testimony about Jesus. Now listen, folks. What would change in your life, in the other person's life, or in the life of the church, if you prayed this prayer? Lord, give me one person who I can influence with your love. If you prayed that prayer and God answered that prayer, what would change? Well, I know that person's life would change. That person's eternity would change. I know that your life would change. My life would change if I did that. And I know that the life of our church as a whole would change. Imagine if this time next year, if every one of us had another person seated next to us who was an answer to that prayer. That God would give us someone whom we could influence with their love. So I want to ask you, how was this woman's testimony made powerful because of her encounter with Jesus? Well, let me give you a couple of things. Number one, I think that we all need to realize that we all have a BC life. Okay, that we all have a BC life. I remember a couple of weeks ago when Billy Graham passed away. You know, God used Billy Graham to reach many, many people with the grace and mercy of Jesus Christ. He was a wonderful man. I happened to catch a recording of some of his memorial service, and one of his daughters was eulogizing her father. And she stood up and she said something about how at one particular part of her life, her life was in ruin. You know, she had gone through a divorce. She'd gotten married way too quickly the second time. She said they were only together for a couple of weeks, and they separated again. And she talked about how embarrassed she was to go back home to her father. And she said when she got home, her dad was outside the house waiting on her like the father of the prodigal coming home. And she told this beautiful story about how her dad did not judge her, that her dad did not ridicule her, but that her father, Billy Graham, loved her and welcomed her and forgave her and encouraged her. And she went on and on. And then she said this, and this is what I want to make sure you hear. But she said, you know what? My father was not a perfect man. She said, my father needed the grace and mercy of the same one that he told the world about. Right? Why? Because we all have a BC life. I remember once when Arlene and I hadn't been married too long, we were talking, and I said to her, I said, honey, what's the worst thing that you've ever done? That's a dangerous question to ask. You know that? I said, honey, what's the worst thing that you've ever done? She told me an instance about how she had picked a flower of one of her neighbors. And then she said, John, what was the worst thing that you had ever done? And you know, right away I was like, oh, I wish I'd never asked that question. Right? But here's the thing. It doesn't matter who you are. Everybody's in need of the grace and mercy of God. We all have a BC life. I remember my good friend, your good friend, Dick Barr. He always used to talk about, when he would talk about something from his past life, he'd say, oh, but that was my BC life. Right? You know, something that we've said, something that we've done, some way that we've lived, some way that we've responded, some sin that so easily beset us. He would always say, oh, but that was my BC life. See, we all have a BC life, right? This woman had a BC life. And her life before this encounter with Jesus Christ was really pretty regrettable. Matter of fact, even if you just take the passage where Jesus says, call your husband, and she said, I have no husband, and he said, right, you're right, you have no husband, you've had five husbands, and the one you're with now is not your husband. I mean, that in and of itself is a track record of failure, of doing things, you know, contrary to the way that God would want you to do them. But see, listen, folks, we all have that life. Billy Graham had that life. And you and I have that life as well. And here's the thing. Regardless that we don't get heaven because we're good, and we don't get hell because we're bad, it's all about whether or not we have this moment in time when we can point to and we can say that was the moment that I accepted Jesus Christ as my Lord and Savior. That's when I put my full faith and trust in Him. And here's the thing about it, folks. So much of the time, if we would just notice, there's a wonderful opportunity to share that testimony with others. See, we have it all wrong. We think that a testimony is something that's going to come somewhere down the road after God teaches us so much. You know who the most effective people are in sharing their faith? New believers. Because they are so close to the stench of sin and hell that they remember what it was like. And they can share that. And you know what? Here this lady walked away, and Jesus used her immediately to tell her story, to give her testimony, to tell others about Jesus Christ. And it says that many came to believe because of the testimony that she had given. Think about it. When she went back to her hometown, she had no stories about God's goodness other than the one that had just happened to her at the well. Everything else was about her life and how she had messed things up. But you see, God can use that if we will willingly share that with other people. Here, let me give you something else here that I think is really, really, really insightful about this passage. And like her, if we want our testimony to be powerful, we have to make sure that we hear what Jesus said. Now, what I mean by that is simply this. You know, a lot of times when we're conversing with someone, we don't listen very well. You know, are you like that? I will admit that. Sometimes, you know, listening is difficult, isn't it? You know, have you ever talked to someone and you could tell they're not listening? All they're doing is formulating something they're going to tell you after you're finished talking. And sometimes they'll even interrupt you to get another word in. Now, I read an article once that just said that a lot of times people don't listen. What they're doing is that they're thinking about what they're going to say to you when they get their turn to say something else. And it was just pointing out how human nature is that a lot of times when we're talking with someone, that we could say, you know, what did I just say to you? I don't know. I mean, that we're paying so little attention to what other people are saying that we miss it. Psychologists call it active listening. In other words, that you're not just thinking about what you're going to say to them, but you're actively listening to them and that you could repeat to them what they said to you in a way that would show them that you're hearing what they're saying. That's something that not a lot of people are able to do very effectively. Well, let me tell you something. Jesus was good at it. Well, let me show you. Let me just give it to you here. If you read John chapter 4, it says that there was a woman of Samaria. There came a woman of Samaria to draw water. And Jesus said to her, "Give me a drink." And he stopped. Isn't it interesting that he didn't jump in to describe the whole water that if you drink it, you'll never thirst again? He said, "Give me a drink." The Samaritan woman said to him, "How is it that you, a Jew, ask me, a Samaritan woman, for a drink? For Jews have no dealings with Samaritans." Jesus answered her, "If you knew the gift of God and who it is saying this to you, 'Give me a drink,' you would have asked him and he would have given you living water." The woman said to him, "Sir, you have nothing to draw water with, and the well is deep. Where are you going to get this living water? Are you greater than our father Jacob, who gave us the well and drank from it himself, as did his sons and his livestock?" Jesus said to her, "Everyone who drinks of this water will be thirsty again, but whoever drinks of the water that I will give him will never be thirsty. The water that I give him will become in him a spring of water welling up to eternal life." The woman said, "Sir, give me this water so that I will not be thirsty or have to come here to draw water." Jesus said to her, "Go call your husband and come here." And the woman answered, "I have no husband." Jesus said to her, "You're right in saying I have no husband, for you have had five husbands, and the one you are now with is not your husband. What you have said is true." The woman said, "Sir, I perceive that you are a prophet. Our fathers worshipped on this mountain, but you say that in Jerusalem is the place where people ought to worship." Jesus said to her, "Woman, believe me, the hour is coming when neither on this mountain nor in Jerusalem will you worship the Father." Now notice this, and I think that this can be lost, that Jesus not only spoke, but he listened to her. And that she not only spoke, but she listened to him. His response to her was in relation to what her questions were. And her questions were in response to what Jesus had shared with her. Folks, listen, we need to make sure that we hear what Jesus said, because a lot of times I think the very thing that keeps us from having a powerful testimony is that we don't hear very well. And we don't ask the right questions. And we're not in touch with what God is teaching to us. You know, other places it says, you know, him who has ears, what? Let him hear. Another place it talks about having ears to hear but not hearing. Eyes to see but not seeing. You know, not understanding. In other words, the very things that God is trying to tell us. You know, how many times in the parables did Jesus have to explain what he had just taught the disciples? How many times did Jesus say to them, hey, I'm going to die. 3 days, I'm going to be raised from the dead. And they only remembered that after he died and was buried and rose again. Listen, are you hearing what Jesus is saying to you? I think sometimes our testimony is simply hampered because hearing we don't hear. You know, we don't ask God questions because we're afraid for, you know, he may be upset at us if we ask a particular question. Sometimes I don't think that our testimony is powerful because we don't understand. She heard what Jesus had said. And we know this is true because the words that Jesus spoke to her changed her life. It was what they noticed when they came back to Jesus after she went back to her hometown. That they came to Jesus. Many of them believed in the Lord Jesus Christ because of the testimony that she had given. She said that she told them that, come meet a man that told me everything there is to know about me. And the only way that she could say that is by hearing the love and the grace and the mercy and the forgiveness from the Lord Jesus Christ. Now let me give you one more. I think that her testimony was powerful because she also allowed this encounter with Jesus. She allowed God to use that to get other people interested in him. You see, if you read the last part of this text, it's really interesting because it says that many Samaritans came from the town, believed in him because of the woman's testimony. And then it says, so when the Samaritans came to him, they asked him to stay with them, and he stayed there 2 days, and many more believed because of his word. They said to the woman, it is no longer because of what you said that we believe, for we have heard for ourselves and we know that this is indeed the Savior of the world. Listen, God wants to use our testimony to get other people interested in him. You know, Penny Harbor, when she gave her testimony there to me in 10th grade, in that study hall, it got, you know, it wasn't that moment, but it got me thinking about it. It got me interested in it. I was with my sister Elaine last week briefly when we were traveling, and we were talking about this, and I said, Elaine, you remember that you and I accepted Jesus as our Lord and Savior at the exact same time? And she didn't remember that. And I told her, listen, you know, I could see that the Lord was tugging at your heart. And it made me feel the tug at my heart. You know, her wanting to get close to God got me interested in that. It's amazing, folks, how often if we would just hear Christ speaking to us, if we would just allow the testimony of others to get us in the vicinity, to get us in the room, to get us talking, to get us hearing from God, it's amazing where it can lead. Sometimes I just don't think we hear, though. Did you ever hear the story about the guy that went to the doctor, and he said to his doctor, You know, he said, Doc, my wife is really having a problem hearing. I tell you, she really needs to make an appointment to see the doctor. And the doctor said to him, said, well, listen, I can give you a real simple test that you can perform at home to see how bad your wife's hearing is. And so he told him, said, listen, when you go home, he said, just get in the room next to where your wife is. She's in the kitchen, get in the living room, and just ask her a question. And if she doesn't answer you, doesn't hear you, then get a little bit closer, ask her the same question, and see how close you have to get to her before she hears you and answers you. And then you can tell how bad her hearing is. He said, okay, so he went home, and his wife was in the kitchen doing something at the sink, and he was in the living room, and he said to her, he said, honey, what's for dinner? She didn't say anything. So he got a little bit closer, and he said, honey, what's for dinner? Still nothing. He walks into the kitchen, said, honey, what's for dinner? She doesn't turn around, doesn't even acknowledge him. And he gets a little closer. Finally, he's right up behind her, and he says, honey, what's for dinner? And she says, for the seventh time, chicken. You see, he thought the problem was with her, but the problem was with him. You see, a lot of times, we think the problem is with God, but the problem is with us. It's not that God isn't speaking. It's that we're not hearing. It's not that God isn't even speaking to other people. It's that because we're not hearing Him, then we're not being used in this same way that He used this woman. You see, we think that what it means to give our testimony is for us to be able to tell this wonderfully wonderful oratory, you know, to put our story in such words that's just moving. No, we all have a testimony. We all have a BC life. And all this woman did is she went back to her hometown. She said, listen, I just met a guy that told me everything that there is to know about me. I think that he's the Savior of the world. And she was so convincing. The other people came to check it out themselves. You see, our job is to plant seeds, the parable of the sower. Our job is to plant seeds. God is the one who saves. God is the one who provides the increase. The Apostle Peter on the day of Pentecost, it says that God added to the church daily those that were being saved. It wasn't the apostles that did the saving. All they did was the planting of seeds. And you know what? I can deal with that. You know, if it's my job to win the world to Christ, that scares me to death. But if it's just my job to plant seeds, you know, go to the grocery store and plant a seed in the lady at the checkout. To go to a restaurant and just plant a seed with the waiter or waitress. You know, in my neighborhood, it's not my job to win everybody that lives around me. It's my job to plant seed, to get people interested. And let me tell you something. If you live an authentic life in Christ that shows that God has made a difference in your life, people will be interested. Listen, Christian couples, if you mirror a Christian marriage, there will be people that live near you. They will want to know more about how that works and what that looks like and the difference that it can make. You know, if you work with people and you've gone through a terrible illness, or if you have a terrible illness even now, you know, if through your faith you've remained positive and hopeful, they'll want to know how and why. And if we just simply take the opportunity to tell other people what Jesus has done for us, it will make all the difference in the world. Listen, this woman had a powerful testimony. People came and were interested in knowing more about Jesus. People responded in faith in Christ. Why? Because she had a BC life. And when she went back home, all she had was a BC life and what Jesus had just told her. But that was enough to make a difference. She heard what Jesus said. She heard what Jesus said about water and about living water and about never thirsting again. She heard what Jesus said about her own sin and where it had led her and the hope that she could have in Him. And she left that well with this hope that she did not have when she came earlier in the day. And she left with an understanding that, you know what, I'm just a seed. I'm just a planter of seeds. And God is going to provide the increase. So here's the thing, folks. Here's the prayer that I want you to pray. Lord Jesus, give me one person I can influence with your love. And the cool thing is that if we accept that challenge, and if we pray that prayer and God answers that prayer, imagine the difference that it's going to make in their life. It could mean eternity. Imagine the difference it's going to make in your life. There's nothing that can ever feel better than when you share your love for Jesus with other people. And imagine the difference it can make in our church family if this time next year each of us has another person that are seated next to us who know Him and love Him as we do. So here's the challenge, folks. Let's do it. And we need to know that God will use us to answer this wonderful prayer, and He can use our testimony to make a difference in the lives of others. Let's pray. Father in heaven, thank you, Lord, for this great, great day, this wonderful morning. Lord, thank you for the life that we have in you. Thank you, Lord, for the challenge of sharing our testimony with others. And Lord, I pray that today that we'll all be in touch with what it was like BC, Lord, before we knew you. And the difference, Father, that you make in each of our lives. May we hear your voice and realize, Father, what you're teaching us, what you're sharing with us. May God use us to get other people interested in you. And then, Lord, we'll just trust you to bring about the increase and to bring people, Lord, into the kingdom. Father, may we know that we're saved by your wonderful grace and mercy. And then, Lord, that we're saved with a purpose. And that purpose, Lord, is to allow the good works of a life well lived to influence, Lord, others to want to know you as well. Father, may it be so in all of our lives today. And Father, as we sing this wonderful song about redemption, God, may we know that it's through the redemption of your blood that we can not only stand before you, but even stand before anyone to share of your goodness and of your grace. So Lord, may our own personal redemption encourage us to go back to our homes, back to our families, back to our town, back to our communities, back to our jobs, where we work, and do as this beautiful lady did and use our powerful testimony to bring others to you. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Amen. Let's stand together, please, and let's sing.
Seems like all I could see was the struggle. And haunted by ghosts that lived in my past, bound up in shackles of all of my failures, and wondering how long is this gonna last. Then you look at this prisoner and say to me, son, stop fighting a fight that's already been won.
Amen.
I have